Hey there, welcome back. You are listening to The DM with Audrey Brianne and Tyree.
On last week's episode, we interviewed costume designer Queen Sylvia Akushe, which you should definitely check out.
And on this week's episode of The DM, we'll be interviewing Helen Huang. Welcome back to another episode of The DM. Today, we have the pleasure in having costume designer Helen Huang on our show. Helen's work spans across many TV series and films, including the likes of Station 11, The Shrink Next Door, Holiday, and much, much more.
Thank you, Helen, for joining us today. Can you please let our listeners know a little bit more about yourself and your extensive work in the industry?
Well, I kind of lucked into it because, you know, like not a lot of people know about, surprisingly, about the jobs in this industry. And so I didn't plan on being a costume designer. I went to school for fashion design and then I went to art school for painting. And I really thought I was going to be a painter or an illustrator or something. And then I got out of school in 2008 and the economy was like terrible. I, you know, was working at this place and Vogue would come in and pull. And so I asked for an internship there because I was thinking maybe that could be fun. And then I realized it's like not for me, assisting on photo. There was some sort of disconnect, I think. And then I afterwards lucked out and got hired to assist on some commercials because I have assisting, you know, experience. And that was so much, it just gelled a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then I sort of like stalked Deborah Maguire, who's like the designer of Friends, for like 2 years and like begged her to hire me. She eventually did. And when I did TV, I was like, oh, like this is where I wanted to be. Because I think I didn't really know this because you know how like there are things you're interested in when you're younger. And I always really liked history and sort of like people. And I think costume design sort of hit that narrative. It hit that core because it's like, I get to think about people and like societies and culture. Mm-hmm. And then I get to do the artistic part of costume design, which represents sort of the accumulation of those thoughts, you know? That's how I got into the industry. And, you know, every day I sort of like thank my lucky stars that I am working in something that I really love. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, you work and you don't, you might not be in something that you love, and how lucky are we to like know what we want to do and sort of pursue and spend every day doing what we really care about, you know?
Totally agree. So I'm going to get right into beef because it's everywhere right now. And congratulations to you and the whole cast because it's a great, great show. We had a really good time watching it. In the show, it's a physically active role for both your leads. How did that physicality play a part in what costumes you selected?
Well, I think the very physical part really came towards the end of the show because their last outfit sort of spanned 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. And it needed to sort of be comfortable, but still seem like who they are throughout the whole series, which is actually quite a very hard thing to do. And so we had to think a lot about that, how all the stunts can happen when they do the car crash, how they ended up sort of out in the wilderness. And especially for Amy's character, I was looking for clothes that could like sort of come apart, you know, as she's sort of peeling away, sort of like an onion in layers, because it's sort of like the physical manifestation of what she's doing emotionally, which is like peeling away a lot of layers. But I don't know if you could tell, but her collar on her shirt was like detachable. And so she was using it to like wipe her brow and all that stuff. But so it was like just sort of like going through the script and thinking of like what actions that she was actually going to be doing and sort of having some fun with it. Like with Danny, his sweater, we needed to make sure that he could make a sling out of it because he hurts his arm. Mm-hmm. So I watched a lot of sling making videos of people making slings out of their shirts and stuff and be like, oh yeah, this is the best garment to sort of work with. So it's a lot of consideration with that. But I think it's hard when you have that many sort of like evolutions and stunts and things like that, but to make them look like themselves, that's always the hardest part.
He did a great job because, yeah, it was, I noticed that when I saw that episode spanned over two, I was just like, oh, wow, that must have been an undertaking, because that's a long time for actors to be in, like, quote unquote, the same costume, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they were in like, I think there were seven costumes each for each one of them to spare the new episode. And like Sunny would be like, you know, and then this happens. And I was like,
okay. You're like, of course that happens.
We'll get on that. Like, we were aging it. He was like, more throw up on the couch.
Oh my God.
I was like, okay, all right. Okay. We get it. They threw up a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, I absolutely loved Beef. So who are people that you look up to in the industry, and do you have any style icons?
I look up to a lot of costume designers because I feel like, for me, when I approach costume design, I think it's like, it's my craft, right? It's just like when people apprentice for making shoes or being the perfect tailor. For me, it's like a craft. It's something that you work on and get better in a lifetime, in a lifespan, you know? And so I always look up to costume designers to aspire to, you know, people who have great character sort of like designing skills and sort of achieving a character, people who are technically extremely good. Some of my favorites are Anne Roth. I think she's amazing for contemporary design. Jeffrey Curlin is also amazing because of his boldness with how his character works. You know, obviously Sandy Powell is amazing because she has, and Colleen Atwood, because of their understanding and Gabriella Biscucci, you know, people who like really understand textiles and design and what happens at the result of that design, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I really look up to them. For style icons, I don't know if I have any. One of my favorite characters is Angelina Jolie from Hackers. It's not like a style icon.
That works.
That's always sort of like favorite, or like Kao Kobu, who does Comme des Garçons. Like, I always find her so amazing. But I just generally like, in terms of style icons, I like people who really commit to what they put out into the world and sort of don't let all the noise of the world sort of bother them as they're being themselves.
Nice.
So once you book a gig, how do you go about researching and prepping for the project?
I research a lot. People are different creatively. Like, some people are like, they sketch and they know exactly, you know, what they want, and they're very sure of their vision. And for me, I'm not that person. You know, I have to do a lot of research. So I look at a lot of images, like so many images. I look at Flickr, Pinterest. I look at books. I look at movies. I don't try to censor myself, because sometimes I think if you're too sure, you don't find the most interesting thing. I tend to do that. And then I tend to think about bigger things with each project. What have I seen before? What has been done before for this type of show or movie? And what can I bring to it that's unique or I haven't seen before? What do I hope to get better at as a costume designer? And those are all things that I think about on the larger scale of every job I do. And then you get into like story and actors and people. My process is a lot of visuals. Sometimes I like to, if think about like sci-fi and things, I like to read up on things. I always feel like if you're interested in a lot of different mediums and artists and just the world in general, your costume design is better. Because you're a seeker. You want to seek the knowledge to make your art better.
Heading back to Beef a little, Ali Wong's character, Amy, seems to embody what the industry is now calling a quiet luxury. So how did you go about putting together her looks throughout the season? Did you do color palettes, cuts, or how did you?
You know, I'm very confused about this quiet luxury.
Right.
Label. Because I don't think it explains anything in a way. Because is it talking about monochromatic looks? Is it talking about people wearing things with like no labels? Or is it talking about people that just wear expensive clothes that don't really have style? Like, I don't really understand what the quiet luxury is. But also, like, if you look at minimalism, just say it's about monochromatic looks and minimalism, right? Someone who wears like the row is different than someone that wears, I don't know, Victoria Beckham when she was doing monochromatic is different than you know, a Celine that does monochromatic. You could have the same color palette, but people could be like so different in how they approach their clothes. To me, because we're in this stage where everyone wants to label every style that comes, they make it like everything's like a style trend. And I just like, I don't think it explains that much. But with Amy, I did look at like a lot of Instagram for her because she owns a shop, she owns a brand. She understands branding her shop and herself. When I describe Amy, I really think of like, if she has an Instagram, she's like the person that has a beige background. She has like a object vase, and then she has like a leaf with a shadow. That's the type of person that she is. That's who I dressed her as, you know, someone who's creative and artistic and has a very specific point of view and definitely shops boutique. She doesn't do malls, but is very controlled and curated of her image. And then Ali Wong, as an actor, she's very big on exploring different designers and different shapes. And so that was fun because I get to, you know, even though she's small, she didn't say, oh, this thing hides my body, I don't like to wear that. I think she just wants to look like an intelligent woman. And I think a lot of it comes from that direction, an artistic woman, an intelligent woman, because she's doing such weird things. On my mood board, I did have a series where people were just like in creams and beiges. And I was talking to Sunny and I was like, you know, if you want to make things like really weird, you could put her in like whites and creams all the time, because who wears white all the time? You know, it's not an easy color to wear on the daily for someone. Yeah. And like, you choose to wear it every day. She's doing all these, there's all these things bubbling under her. I was like, it'd be so great if she was thinking and doing all these terribly out of control things and like being in this like perfect kind of wardrobe, you know, with this perfect color and just being still so held on so tight about what her image is, you know?
I think you guys excelled at that because I've been watching the show. I kept asking that. I was like, she's got so much going on. Like, she's got a kid and like this woman's in all white and cream. Like, how does that work? So like, it definitely stood out that like she had sort of that preference of that pristineness. So it's cool hearing you explain it because it very much showed up on screen.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And then next question is just, what's a past project that gave you a challenge in its ambition? And how'd you overcome what was ahead?
I think Station 11 was a big challenge. Mostly because it was the pandemic and we were filming a lot of Station 11 during the pandemic, and they had moved us from Chicago into Canada because they were like, oh, there's a lot of COVID in Chicago, not a lot of COVID in Canada. But then what they didn't anticipate was like Canada was like basically closed, you know, it was like under lockdown. So like we can't even order things from across the border. You can't physically go into stores. The only online orders that we could get. And like, even when you go to the fabric store, like one of our swatchers, people who get the fabric, they like would stand outside and they would hand the person an image like on the sidewalk. And then the person would go into their store and then get the thing out for them. Like it was that type of thing. Cause you can't go into a store. It was like illegal. It did present an incredible amount of challenge for what we could produce because it's not like you could build all the things of your dreams. So it was a lot of problem solving. Actually, I really do appreciate that experience and love that experience because you only get better if you're able to encounter like a challenge and sort of problem solve. And then also Station 11 being as creative as it is was very hard sometimes because it was like, how do I think of this next thing? People always think if you're in a creative industry, you could be creative all the time. You can't. It's like almost impossible. You get extreme burnout on a TV show, they won't let you stop. And so you're always like hoping that this is the right idea sometimes because it's not always like knocking it out of the park, you know?
We really appreciate costume designers. We are huge fans. The Costume Designers Guild has a movement, The Naked Without Us. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on costume designers as a career and the movement of Naked Without Us?
Well, I think Naked Without Us is really trying to call into attention that traditionally costume designers are underpaid. Like we're the most underpaid. I think costume designer's starting salary is the same as a caterer on set. Mm. And I think it's because of people's misconception, because they get dressed every morning, that what we do is easy. It is also from the fact that we are a very much a woman majority union and historically have been underpaid. Yeah, I think it's just this misconception that what we do is just like buying clothes. And it's like, no, that's not what we do. We're like mediums. We're like therapists. We're like the closest thing to an actor. The first ones probably they see when they come in. Mm-hmm. And it is very hard to understand good costuming, good story, to be able to execute as fast as we can. Also, you know, people think like building sets because they're building these big things, that's somehow better or more skilled labor than building smaller things, which is not true. And so I think Naked Without Us really tries to highlight those types of misconceptions, you know, and the role we play on screen. You know, for people who want to do it, it's like, it's amazing. I'm going to tell you, it's not glamorous because it's glamorous. It's a lot of like physical work. We stand a lot. It's a lot of scheduling. If you're a costume designer, you're like 50% creative. The other 50% is dealing with everybody else. Your department, the directors, the producers, the actors, you're dealing with a lot of people all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you want to be creative, you still need to sort of have all those problem-solving skills. But it is very, very rewarding once you get to a place where you could be like, I don't want this job, I want this job. That type of thing. It's very rewarding because you really get to do like things that you're really kind of happy with, you know?
Was it fun to dress billionaire Jordan, played by actress Maria Bello, on Beef? And what went into her worldly ensembles?
It was very fun. I think, you know, with Maria Bello's character, it was hard because we had a budget limit on the show. Like, Beef was not a very expensive show. And to like dress a billionaire, it's like you need the money to do it. And so we were really trying a ways to think about like, how can we represent like wealth in a different way than like a logoed handbag and like the newest things of like the season. And Maria brought to us some images that she really liked. I forgot her name, but it's like this woman who is like sort of like the head of Net-a-Porter. And it was like sort of bohemian and kind of Indiana Jonesy in a way, like this person that travels a lot and like collects things. And when she showed me those pictures, I was like, oh, this is like it. This is it. Because it caters to sort of Maria's style, because you can't forget the actor that's playing the person, you know? And Maria is not like billionaire Martha Stewart, you know? She's young and she like wears R13 and she's, so we were like, oh, she's this woman who goes all over the world and sort of like collects things and wears the things that she collects because she views those experiences as wealth. So we sourced a lot of textiles for her. So it was like she wore sort of like really classic things with a lot of sort of like textiles mixed in and, you know, sort of bohemian jewelry that kind of reflected her house. It was really fun to think about wealth in such a different way. Also, it really helps because in her character as a person in the show, it's kind of ridiculous that she's not aware of like what she's doing. She's basically, it's like cultural appropriation, you know, like every day, all day, every day. And so, but I like to think that Jordan is not aware of that, you know, regardless, that's her, it's like a fault of hers, you know, but it just shows you how easy that could happen. And I think it really serves a good narrative point in terms of like, also in an all Asian cast show, it's kind of very humorous and tense at the same time. Yeah. To sort of make fun of that, you know?
Mm. Ashley Park's character, Naomi, is kind of a wannabe, a social butterfly. She's trying to come up in her community. Yeah. What parts of her wardrobe did you allow to showcase her wealth or lack thereof?
Well, with Ashley's character, she was supposed to be, you know, she is supposed to be very wealthy in the show. And, you know, Ashley came into Naomi being like, she's done Emily in Paris and, you know, she's very colorful. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to feel a little bit more pared back, a little bit more adult, you know, a little bit less that. And at first, you know, Sunny, the showrunner, was like afraid her palette would be too close to Amy's. But this is what I'm saying about like, how Quiet Luxury doesn't say anything, because she does have a lot of the same color palette sometimes as Amy, because she does very classic pieces, but I was thinking of Naomi's character as classic with a twist. And so she would be wearing a white shirt, but that white shirt's a corseted Alexander Wang shirt with like a pair of like helmet laying trousers. So in essence, when you look at her, the silhouette fits her body like perfectly, you know, because she dresses to her body like her character does. She doesn't wear the logos on her either, but then she makes little tweaks to make the sort of more classic things more special. And then she has the Valentino handbag. You know, I'm sure we all know those people, you know, where like the bag is then the label that they show.
So you worked with one of our favorites, fashionista Emma Roberts in the film. When you guys were working together, did she have input in her character style direction for that film?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, like Emma also is fantastic to work with. Let me just get off that off right off the bat. I said Emma mood board because I really love vintage and I always try to use vintage any way possible. And with Emma's character, I really wanted her to feel like, because it's a rom-com. And so I really did want her to feel like she's this girl who like knows what she looks like and what's in her wardrobe. Like, I didn't want it to be a rom-com where like she's a sad girl and then she found this guy and then she has a whole new wardrobe. I always find that like extremely misogynistic to think that women don't have an identity and they just like base their whole identity off like mood attached to a guy, you know? How silly is that? With her, we sourced a lot of vintage and Emma really liked that. I mean, she did have opinions about like what kind of vintage that she likes and, you know, what she looks good in. But I feel like we were very good, like in sync, because the things that she liked is the things I naturally gravitate towards, you know? So in that way, it was like pretty amazing and fantastic to work with, looks great and everything.
You did a beautiful job on that film. I was mesmerized by her wardrobe. Like,
from were you? I'm glad.
Yeah, from the get-go, I was like, this is good costuming. I liked everything she wore.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love hearing that because, you know, we work so hard on it and sometimes like they only shoot like waist up and you're just like, I don't know if anybody's going to notice that we spend so much time on everything. Yeah.
What is a genre that you haven't worked on yet that you would like to in the future?
I want to do a proper sci-fi. Like, I love sci-fi. And I feel like I have a lot to say in it. I feel like I have a lot to say in terms of, like, a minority voice in sci-fi. Because I feel like sci-fi tend to use minority aesthetics to make it foreign. And I feel like I need to go in there and, like, crack some skulls on that. And then I would love to do a proper fantasy because I also love fantasy. I want to do things where I sort of make the whole show. I feel like that's my next challenge, you know? I really want to do it.
And that kind of rolls into our last question, which is, what are you, if you can talk about it, what you're currently up to, what's in the future, and where our listeners can follow your journey?
I am working on The Penguin in New York for I guess it's Max now, for Max. So I'm currently working on that. I have something, but I can't really talk about it yet, but I think it fulfills the last thing that I wanted to do. So I'm very excited, but you know, obviously everything's kind of up in the air now because of the writer's strike. So we'll see how that works out. And I'm really bad on social media. Like, I think I have like on Instagram, it's like H-E-L-L-Y, my last name, H-U-A-N-G. My friend set it up for me. I always feel bad telling people that because I'm not, like, I only post when the shows come
out. Yeah.
It's a lot of work. I don't know how to post every day. It's like kind of intense.
It's difficult, but yeah, we'll make sure our readers have your Instagram because if you're active on there when the shows are coming out, that would probably be lovely for them to see. And just, we wanted to thank you again for your time today because we're big fans, especially of Beef, but a lot of the work you've done is our projects we've watched and enjoyed and definitely pinpointed out that the costume designing was really strong.
Thank you so much. It was lovely.
Thank you so much for joining us in another episode of The DM with Audrey Brianne and Ty Reed, where we interviewed costume designer Helen Huang. You'll find links to Helen's homepage in the description box below. A special thank you to Nearby Sound for our theme song.
If you enjoyed the show, please introduce a friend to our work and tell them to like, subscribe, and follow. Follow us on the DM.net or on Instagram at Audrey Brianne and at Tyree Style. The DM is produced by DB Sound, Audrey Brianne, and Tyree.